Very happy now to be joined by the Hall of Fame cornerback Lem Barney of the Detroit Lions. And Lem is one of the top 100 football players of all time. This coming from the Sporting News, a seven-time All-Pro player. And Lem, I'm 48. I grew up a Raider fan, but I used to really love collecting football cards and stuff. And I remember your card, and I remember watching you as a little kid. And it's funny how the game has changed, because back in the day when you played corners, you had to be almost like fast linebackers. Today, DBs, they don't wear any knee pads or shin guards. They don't wear any thigh pads. And when they tackle somebody, they sort of like dive at people's ankles. Isn't it weird how it's changed?
It really is, and it all comes from coaching. It's about techniques and all, and I give thanks and praise for the coaches that I had coming up from middle school through high school, college, and even in the league, and that's where it all developed fully. I had a coach who was a Hall of Fame linebacker, Joe Schmidt, who was our head coach for my first 7 years, and a teammate of his who played on that 53 and 57 championship team, Coach Jimmy David. And it was all about techniques, fundamentals, and principles. And they taught about coaching and tackling and putting your head positions in the right place and wrapping up and things of that nature. The little things in life that really counted in being a good football player.
Speaking with Lem Barney, he's here to talk about the Gridiron Greats Assistant Fund and also Pork Rind Appreciation Day, which is something I can certainly appreciate. The other thing is, Lem, and I played defensive back at a small college, and the way the game is now with all the techniques and rules to allow the offense to have, you know, these quarterbacks throw for 5,000 yards and break all these records, I think they make the sport more dangerous, because, you know, you're thinking, should I put my head here? Should I do this? I can't even touch the receiver's shoulder pads, or it's going to be pass interference. And in a way, and I know they're trying to get away from the whole concussion thing, but in a way, I think they almost make the sport even more dangerous at this point. And the other thing is, I hate it when they say the new rule, defenseless wide receiver. To me, there's no such thing as a defenseless football player.
You're right about that. And as you mentioned about the injuries today, because of the guys, the game is a bigger, stronger, faster, quicker, in a lot of cases, more intelligent game as it was of yesteryear. The way they have to study the game today, it makes it much more intriguing and intelligent. But again, the injuries are compounding because of the speed and the size and the quickness. Guys are paid during the offseason to come in and still work out outside of their contractual agreement that they have. They'll get paid every day for coming in during the offseason, per day, per diem. So it's an incentive, but it's still a strong and deadly game.
Well, you know, I that's very well said. And another local bent, as an East Bay native, I'm from Richmond, California, and I grew up with Chris Farr, and I knew his cousin Andre Farr. And, of course, that all comes down from your old teammate Mel Farr.
Correct.
And, talk about an athletic family. But when I heard, this is something I didn't know about you, Lem, is that you have a gold record, and not just you have a gold record, you have a gold record because you were singing background with Mel on What's Going On with Marvin Gaye.
Absolutely, Rick.
What the heck?
Well, I came up to Detroit, Mel and I, speaking of that, it's really almost like God-given. Mel forward, M-E-L, is Lem backwards, L-E-M. And Mel was drafted in 1967, the first round out of UCLA, and I was drafted second round out of Jackson State University. And we came up, and we gave the league something, Rick, that they'd never had before we came into the league, and they've never had it since. Both offensive and defensive rookies of the year, same year, same team. So it was great, but Mel and I had the opportunity to meet a lot of the great Motown artists during the time we came up in 1967. And Marvin was a specifically embraceable guy. He was warm, and we had a chance to meet him at some concerts, and then we started working out. He started working out with us, and all of a sudden, he wanted to start playing football. We would go over to his house and listen to him record. We'd go to the studios, and one day, we went over, and he's like, Lem, you take this part. Mel, you take this part. So it was on the What's Going On, and so it became a gold record. And after that, Marvin started going on the Shirley Eater Show, Johnny Carson, Ed McMahon and all. I mean, mm-hmm. all kind of national shows saying he was going to be a Detroit Lion. And Coach Joe Schmidt said, "Lem, what's this about Marvin? Say he's going to try it with." I said, "Coach, I keep trying to tell him he's got to get clearance." So Coach brought him down to the office and talked to him and said, "I'll tell you what, during the off season, we're going to give you a shot. We'll see what you do in training camp." And they had shoes and shorts, no pads, and Marvin tried out as a wide receiver, tight end, and running back, and he gave it all he had. But he'd never played athletics before, you know, until this time, and he was a grown man. But he had the heart, but really just didn't have the overall gifts, and I give him a lot of credit for his efforts.
But I never knew that about Marvin Gaye. That's really cool. We're speaking with Lem Barney, one of the greatest corners of all time, the Hall of Famer. And you mentioned coming out of Jackson State, and so you're a second-round pick, but still, you know, not a USC, not an Ohio State. And you probably had a lot of confidence, but your very first start, a pick six against Bart Starr, did you already know you could play on that level, or was that the kind of thing was, you know, I just intercepted Bart Starr and got a touchdown. Maybe I can play in the National Football League.
Well, I tell you, Rick, I had some tough quarterbacks down in that SWAC conference. I played against Shaq Harris and Doug Williams over at Grambling, who played in the league. And mm-hmm. I mean, some great college players from Alcorn State, Mississippi Valley, and I mean, just some great quarterbacks who had tremendously great arms. And our quarterback at Jackson State, we called him Shotgun because he had a ball that would whistle. You could be in a bump and run position, but you can hear that ball rifling through the air like a missile. And I had some great quarterbacks to play against in high school as well as in college, and then getting to the league, I mean, I really enjoyed playing defensive back and punt return and kickoff returns and things of that nature. And my first game was against, as you mentioned, the Green Bay Packers, first league game, and they were the first Super Bowl winners in 1966. And mm-hmm. Bart Starr was a big fan. I was a big fan of Bart Starr, who played at Alabama, because I played quarterback and defensive back also in high school and in college. And the second play of the game against Green Bay, as they won the toss and they gave the ball off to Elijah Pitts in the middle for 3 yards, the next play he wanted to throw a quick out to All-Pro Boy Dollar. And as he saw me covering, he tried to throw the ball low and away from me. And I dove in the front of Dollar about 3 yards. I did a somersault. I came up with an interception and ran it into the end zone for 29 yards for a touchdown. I say, this is going to be easy.
Well, Lem, you know what? With you telling that story and your recall on it, I feel like you're reliving it like it was like yesterday for you.
It was. I mean, I remember the good, the bad, and the indifference about the game. I really had a love, a good fetish for the game. I studied it. I practiced it. And it was a love of mine. And when you love doing what you're doing, Rick, you never work a day in your life, and I really enjoy playing the game.
Okay, one more football question for you, and that is, with Super Bowl 48 now, we're going to have 96 teams that have been in the Super Bowl. None of those have been the Detroit Lions, and of course the Detroit Lions go back longer than most teams in the NFL even exist, and now Schwartz is gone, Caldwell is going to come in. What is it? I mean, we went through some different ownerships in the Matt Millen years. It just seems like they just can't get off the schneid. What is it about the Lions? Because I'm sure, I mean, when you think about number 20 that you wore, Barry Sanders wore it, Billy Sims wore it, a couple of Heisman winners. I mean, you're Detroit Lions through and through. So why do you think the Lions just can't get off the mat sometimes?
Well, I guess Andrews has been a key play as well, Rick. We've had some great talent over the years and some great coaches, and it's been the same owner, Mr. Bill Ford, who's a terrifically great owner, but it's just been where at the crucial time where we needed to win, we would lose. Minnesota had been one of the biggest rivals in our Central Division over the years. They've been a nemesis for the Detroit Lions, and so as a result, not being able to beat these squads, you don't advance. But I think now with the new coach we got coming in, the new players, they're looking at revamping the whole situation there. So I think it's going to be an improvement all the way around for us, Rick.
Okay, a couple more questions for the Hall of Famer, Lem Barney, and that is the Gridiron Greats Assistant Fund. It's a way to help out players who sort of, you know, blaze the trail, guys such as yourself, but maybe a little down their luck, maybe didn't invest properly, maybe You know, here's their image being put in video games, but they're not seeing a dime of it. And it's a way of helping with some of these hardships, correct?
Absolutely, Rick. And as you mentioned about the Rudolph food, it's been a commitment to excellence has been passed down from generation to generation for more than 57 years. And Southern Recipes, which is the Rudolph Food Company brand, offers high-quality, low-cost pork products and a variety of flavors for the most discriminated appetites. Rudolph Foods Company has a variety of brands that include Southern Recipes like pork skins and Rudolph Foods. They make snacks that include pork rinds, cracklings, and pork sticks. They have flavored pork rinds that include salt and vinegar, sweet barbecue, and hot and spicy. And in the year of 1955, Mr. John Rudolph learned of an untapped market for pork rinds, and the Ohio entrepreneur quickly launched his own company, producing pork rinds from spoken bacon rinds. And that's the history of the Rudolph Foods.
Well, that's pretty good. And we also have Pork Rind Appreciation Day. And as someone who grew up in America, and I even say my friends in Mexico at the Chicharrones, we all have a little taste for the for the pork rind. What happens on Pork Rind Appreciation Day?
Well, as you mentioned, Rick, it's celebrated on the biggest day of the year for football.
Mm-hmm.
And on the first Sunday of February, Pork Rind Appreciation Day has become an annual event to celebrate how pig skin and pig skin go together. And Rudolph Foods, a Southern Recipe, they support Gridiron Greats Assistance Funds, which is a nonprofit organization that provides medical and financial assistance to former National Football League NFL players. And now through Pork Rinds Appreciation Day, a portion of the sales of all Rudolph Foods brand products will be donated to the organization's assistance funds, well up to $15,000. And customers can support Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund by buying pork rinds online at rudolphfood.com/store, finding Rudolph Foods at your local Walmart or Southern Recipes brand pork rinds at many of your local convenience stores.
All right, very well. Once again, you can get them at Walmart, rudolphfoods.com, and of course, check out porkrindday.com. Been speaking with Lem Barney, one of the great NFL players of all time, the Hall of Fame corner. And Lem, geez, really enjoyed speaking with you, and I really want to catch up with you again someday soon, sir.
Rick, I would love to anytime you have it, baby, and I wish you and your family the very best in the new year.
All right, you as well, sir. Thank you very much. Lem Barney, really good. Come on back.
Legend of the Phoenix, all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning.